Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Amber, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
How did you find Organize 365?
I was looking through podcasts about organizing and you popped right up.
Awesome. Well, so you're on a podcast and you found us through podcasts.
Yes.
Full circle, right?
Full circle.
So tell us about the people who live in your house with you.
So I'm married. I have a Greg also. So my Greg, and then we have two boys, Gavin and Garrett. Gavin's 17 and Garrett is 14.
Oh, so you're in the busy driving and going everywhere years, but never at home years.
Never at home. My oldest is driving himself, and luckily he helps out a bit too.
Yeah, you're so afraid for them to get their driver's license. And then when they get it, you're like, here's the grocery list. Have fun.
Yes. Yes. Andy has a job, so he's always running to work, and then he takes himself to practice now. That's nice. So,
is he a junior or a senior?
He's a senior.
Wow. So, what are his plans for next year? Does he know?
We are working on college applications this weekend, actually. So we have a couple of different colleges that we've visited, and he is currently interested in nursing.
Okay. In-state, also out of state, hasn't decided.
He is going to stay in-state. We've looked at a couple of small colleges.
Okay. Awesome. I mean, it's so fun to be able to see your kids start to dream about, like, what is possible and what they want to do next. Like, it's so fun, but also you're like, oh, I hope they get accepted. I hope this works out the way that they want it to. And the world doesn't like change while they're midstream.
Yes.
So all of those emotions at the same time, right? And they look to you as if you have all the answers and we're like, you're going out in the big world now.
Yes. Although sometimes I think with boys, they think they already have the answers, but yeah. We're working our way through it.
Yeah. So your kids are really like becoming their own thoughts and their own adults inside of your house. It's an awesome stage to be in. So much growth that happens between 12 and 18 in our kids, just like between 0 and 6, there's just so much growth that happens and it's hard to take it in. And then also do everything else that you want to do, like for yourself and your husband and your house and your community at the same time.
Yes, it is. And actually, the boys and I, we volunteer in an organization called Young Men's Service League. And so that, I think, has been the biggest opportunity to watch them change, because we go out, we volunteer, we help at food pantries, or one of the organizations that we help with is called Bed Start. And so we take beds to people that don't have beds, going into people's houses and seeing that they don't have anything. And so seeing the need and then having them lift the beds and take them in and do all the heavy lifting that young men should do and can do. And it's great to watch.
Yeah. Oh. That will leave a print on them for their whole lives, you know, that experience.
Yes. They'll
always remember that. It's so grounding.
Yeah, it really is. It's a lot of fun. And then we have great conversations afterwards. And so that has been really rewarding. It's definitely been a rewarding time to be with them.
Yeah. And those lived experiences are so, you know, pivotal for understanding and a broader perspective as they start out on their adult journey. And I think that's a lot of what we get from these Wednesday podcasts, is listening to other women share their story, and maybe some men soon, share their story of how they have taken back their life through getting their home organized. And we all do it just a little bit differently. So what was the thing that really got you Googling organization podcasts? Like, why did you decide to start getting organized?
So I've always been, I started out my life pretty organized. But then you add kids, a house, a husband, all of their stuff, and things just got really chaotic. I've always worked a job that was never really a 40-hour a week job. Things got out of hand really fast. Right before my son started kindergarten, my oldest, I hired a professional organizer to come in and organize my house. She was wonderful. I remember the first conversation I had with her, and she's like, any woman that is up at 4:30 in the morning looking for organizers must really need me bad. I was like, yes, I'm losing it over here. So I've always kind of gone through this journey of seeking more organization information to try and figure out, how was I so organized before and now I can't keep up with it? And so I've tried Fly Lady. There's a book by a woman called The Organizer Lady, and she has a group called Messies Anonymous. I thought for a while I was a messy. I don't think I really am a messy, but it fit for a while. So I started looking. I was really new to podcasting when I was looking for an organizing podcast.
How long ago was that?
I think it was 2018. I've been trying to remember. Yeah.
A while.
Yeah.
So 4 years ago, how old would the boys have been then?
13. The oldest was 13 and the youngest was 10.
Okay. 10 and 13. And then when you first started on this journey, they were like 3 and 5 or 2 and 4. You were working full time, like more than full time?
Oh yeah. I've worked all the way through from the time they were 6 weeks, 9 weeks on, I went back to work. So.
Wow. It's a lot, because I was a stay-at-home mom and I used to always ask working women, like, how do you do it? Like, not as in like in a derogatory way, just like, I just couldn't understand how I would get out of the house. I didn't understand how that was even like a possibility.
You know, honestly, my husband did mornings. I would go into work early and he would do mornings. So he would get up and get them off to childcare. And that was a big help. And it was a really good bonding time for him and them. Mm-hmm. They're very close. And I think that was a good foundation.
That's so interesting, because I wouldn't have even thought about that. Like, I was like, how would I do that? Like, because Greg is an amazing husband and dad, but he's very traditional. And I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and he wanted to be married to a stay-at-home mom. So like the thought of him doing, like, that's not even, I was reading LinkedIn and there was like a little meme or whatever. And it said, my husband made dinner, did the dishes, has the kids, have just gotten out of the bath, and now he's reading their bedtime stories. And it said something to the effect of, if you are wondering why I'm not doing all this, this is the problem. Because it was the woman writing it. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, wow, like, what? Like,
yeah,
what would I be doing during that time? Like, I'm supposed to be doing all that work. Like, I just take it on myself. And it's just our perspective, or, you know, what we've always seen. I've always seen stay-at-home moms that worked from home. They were all entrepreneurs. So it is your point of view. Again, these Wednesday podcasts just give us a perspective of a different lived experience that kind of puts it in our head of like, oh, like, I always wondered how you get it all done. I never even thought about, like, one takes mornings and one takes nights. Why did I never think of that?
Yeah, it really worked very well. But I was raised by a stay-at-home mom. So that's kind of, I had that perspective, and I went to college, I got my degree, and I really identify not just as a mom. I identify as this person, an auditor, or somebody, an HIM manager, which is what I am now. That's my identity. That's a big part of my identity. And so it's not just that I'm a mom.
Yes. And I think that if you've listened to the Organize 365 podcast, you hear that I am talking myself into allowing myself to have an identity outside of being a mom. And for a lot of you who, you know, are like Amber, and you're like, I went to college and I got the degree, and I am this person, and I'm this person, and I'm a wife, and I'm a mother, and I'm, you know, like all these things. Like, I definitely wanted to be married and have children so much that that was 100% of my identity. And let me just tell you, my family's fine with that. They're not so happy about the additional identities. They're getting better about it. And also, I'm just more confident in that I am called to do a lot of things. And I think that that's why we like podcasts, because it's like we're in a conversation. Like, Amber, you and I are in a conversation, and also you who are listening. Like, we're in a three-way conversation, and you like feel like you're sitting, we're having coffee together. Like, we're having this chat together, and you're like, oh yeah, I agree with that. Oh, I'm like Lisa, I never thought about having another identity. Or I'm like Amber, like, I've always had this other identity. And so the motherhood, the marriage was harder for me to really wrap my head around than the having a career. And the more you talk with people and listen and hear different ideas, the more normal all the differences that we have make sense. Because when you're looking on social media or you're just reading a book, then it's one point of view and you try to fit yourself into that story.
Yeah.
But if you're in the Organize 365 community app or you're listening to the podcast, you hear so many different diverse perspectives, and the more diversity, the better. So this is a personal call out. If you haven't been on the Wednesday podcast and you yourself are answering the questions as I'm asking them, I know this because I used to do this. I used to listen to podcasts and listen to the person ask the questions and be like, well, if it's me, here's how I'd answer it. Please apply, which just means give us your answers in advance so we know that you won't freeze on this conversation that we're having. Like, we want to hear your story. And if you're like, well, there hasn't been a story like mine, then you should apply to share your story so that we can hear your perspective as well. Like, I can't have multiple lived experiences. Look, I even thought about trying, but like, I can't.
Yeah, I saw you think about
that. Did you see the other side eye? I'm like, no, I did. I try to put myself in other people's shoes, but it's really hard. And also, I would say the Wednesday podcast episodes have probably made the biggest impact on the Organize 365 programs more than anything else, because it's the feedback that I get and the life stories I hear. I'm like, oh, okay, we need this inside the program. We need this support. We need this accountability. We need to make this easier. We need to send less emails, more in the dashboard. Like, I'm a teacher. Like, I'm just constantly iterating and making things better so that you can achieve the transformation faster. So let's talk about your transformation, Amber. So you talked about you had a professional organizer come, mm-hmm. kind of gave you a jump start. What happened after that between, you know, the 5-year-old becoming the 12 or 13-year-old, and after you found the podcast, what got you started in this organization idea?
So I started with the Sunday basket and really started working through my paper. And it wasn't just all of the boxes of paper that I had, but just the mail coming in the door. Yeah. You know, what do I do with the mail today? How do I make sure that my bills aren't late? Because I had the money. It's just, I didn't have the time to pay the bills. With everything that's automated, yeah, everything's automated, but there's so much that's not. And aside from that, my husband owns his own insurance company or agency. And so I also do the payroll for that and I pay bills for that. And so it was a lot coming in paper-wise every week, every month, making sure that you meet the deadline for payroll. It's big. Payroll taxes at the end of the year, lots of paper. And so I started with the Sunday basket and really enjoyed the routine of the Sunday basket. Then at some point I went to the 100 days and then I went all access. And the 100 days really helps with breaking it down. I loved the breakdown. So I had tried some other, you know, 365 days through your house kind of events, but I never stuck with it past about the first month. And that's kind of what I love about the fact that you sell the program and it's 100%, you're in forever. You can just keep trying it over and over and over again. Of course, my kitchen is perfect now. So I love that you've pivoted it to other areas of the house, move around to where you need to be starting when we have that initial momentum. I mean, you're right on top of it with that. Cause that is me. I have that initial momentum for a month or two and you get me motivated and then life happens and things, you know, I've done a second degree since I've been following you. So I've done school and managed all of this at the same time. I've done a lot since I've been following you and still been able to, keep up and find time in my schedule to do different things that are fun with my family and personally.
Okay, well, I want to come back to school here in 1 minute.
Okay.
So as you're listening to these Wednesday podcasts, if you've just found the podcast or you've been listening all the way through and you're like, I'm so confused. The 100 days, I can't even find that in the shop. Or she just mentioned all access. What is all of this? So again, the podcast is like 8 years old. So you've been listening to 8 years of lessons from a teacher. Like, do you expect that a teacher over 8 years is going to sell it the same way? No, of course not. So now it's called the Productive Home Solution. It's everything all in there. And instead of going through our house three times, 100 days in a row, it's a 52-week curriculum, but the lessons from the 100 days are still in there. And the reason why the 100-day program worked for the 5 years that we did it as the 100-day program is that every single day you just had one task and you watched like a 1 or 2 minute video, and then you did a 15 to 20 minute activity. And you didn't have to do the activity of the day before or the day after. Like, they're all like independent lessons. Like, you do your silverware drawer or you do your shoes in your closet. Like, the very, very specific tasks. And you're like, okay, I could do my shoes. I could do the silverware drawer. I can clean out the refrigerator. Okay, so maybe it takes you 30 minutes to clean out the refrigerator, not 15. It's not the prescriptive, it's going to take 15 minutes, but it's the idea that a teacher is telling you to do this thing. And if you keep doing all the things that the teacher, me, tells you to do, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh, the house is organized. Now tell me if this happened to you, Amber. Here's what I find when I guide myself through my own organizing or as a professional organizer. You get to this point where you're like, this is not worth it. Like, I have been doing this for months. I've been doing these little 15-minute day things. Like, I'm never going to get to the end. I just feel like I have a bigger mess than I did before. And I just don't think this is working. But if you keep going, just like even like 7 or 10 more days, then all of a sudden you turn around and you go like, how did it get done? Like, just all of a sudden it went from like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to keep doing this. This is going to take forever. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think I'm like pretty much almost done. Did that happen to you?
So I think I'm a little bit further out than that. I didn't get immediately like overwhelmed by things at one time, but I'll tell you the pivot point for me was I ran into my professional organizer in Walgreens, and she's like, are you ready for me to come back and do a refresh? Cause I've had her several times come do refreshes over the years. Mm-hmm. And at first I was wanting to respond with yes. And then I remembered that I had just gone back and done my pan cabinet just a week or so before that. And I remember it just took me 5 minutes. And I was like, you know, actually, I don't think I do need a refresh. I think I might have managed it. And she was shocked. You should have seen her face. She was
right. Like, right. Because that's what I found too. When I had, as a professional organizer, comes in and organizes your house, it doesn't mean that now you're able to maintain it. Like, you have to learn the skill of organizing, or you have to continually pay somebody to maintain it for you. Like, there's no magic wand here. Nope. And the same thing happened to me. Like, 2 years into organizing, I had two clients that I was doing their whole house. And so, I mean, that was a big job. And over the weekend, on Monday, I, you know, called to confirm that I was coming on Tuesday and I was coming on Wednesday, these two different clients. And they both said, yeah, we don't need you to come. And I thought, oh, they ran out of money. And I said, okay, well, do you want to reschedule it for later? And they were like, no, we finished it over the weekend. I'm like, you finished it over the weekend? And they're like, yeah, well, we were listening to all the questions you asked us. And so they were both working with spouses. And they said, so we just started asking each other and we just knocked it out. We're done.
And they had that accountability partner.
And I was
that
like,
that works too.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that is when I realized that organization was a learnable skill, was when they didn't need me to come back. And I was like, game on, how do I teach this through the internet? Because that is what we need. Now, professional organizers, amazing, awesome. If you have the money and the resources, I highly recommend getting one, because it is a huge jumpstart. Like, delegate, if you can afford it, delegate it, get yourself a base level. And then, but you're going to have to learn the skill. Like, you have to learn the skill of organizing. Otherwise, you'll just end up where you were. It'll just take longer, maybe 18 months, 3 years, 5 years. You'll go through a life change or an unexpected event. And then here you are where you start again. Like, learning the skill is not optional. It's mm-hmm. just not optional.
Nope.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So can we segue to the school thing for a little
sure.
bit? Sure. Okay. Yeah. So what did you go back to school for?
So I have a finance degree, a business degree in finance. That's the traditional, when I was 18 years old, got my degree. And I have, in the last 10 years, I've been in medical records for a hospital for 10 years. we call ourselves health information management. One of the things with being in the department, they asked me if I would go get an HIM degree. And so there is an associate's and a bachelor's degree that focuses on health information management. So I went back and got an associate's degree at a college local here, and then went and got certified in HIM to help support my degree or my career path.
How many classes was that? How many years?
It took me 3 years. It was, what is it, like 60 hours, I think it was.
So. Okay, so selfishly, how'd you do that? Back to my original question, how'd you do that? Because now I know you had kids and you're working and you did this, which is me right now.
Right.
Hello, how am I going to do this PhD? Give me all the details.
So here's the deal. You start out with one class and you get started and you think, oh, this is going to be so much. This is going to be so much. But as an adult and as a life learner like you are, you just start absorbing everything. So you'll do less puzzles. You'll spend less time in the bathtub. Or you'll improvise and you'll take the books with you to the bathtub, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I started with one class, and I remember I do one-on-ones with my staff. And so I was sitting talking to one of my team members, and she was telling me, she's like, how many classes are you taking? I said, just one. She goes, oh, before you know it, you'll be taking a full load. I was like, oh no, I could never do that. She's like, oh, let me just tell you, you figure it out. And you do. I mean, so after that first semester, I was like, well, that wasn't too bad. Let me try two classes. So I tried two classes. And then before you knew it, I was taking four. So,
wow.
Yeah. You start out real slow and then it's like, I want this done. So you just start.
The certificate program I'm in is two classes plus research. Mm-hmm. So it's three classes mm-hmm. for three trimesters. And get this, Amber, get this. The breaks for the three trimesters are exactly where I have planning days.
Oh, that works.
I was right where the breaks are. I knew there was an energy to this. So there the is. Breaks are perfectly there. And then when you go into your PhD, it's two classes plus research each. So I'll be full load right off the get-go.
Oh, you can't pace it with one class at a time.
Ooh.
Well,
it'll be fine. Yeah, I'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It will be fine. It's really, you think it's going to be a lot. I mean, now it was, I do remember I took a mini mester for statistics. The fact that I had to repeat statistics for that degree just really frustrated me, because I had two semesters of business statistics, but apparently statistics is different when you talk about health information management. It's not. But anywho, so I remember a Friday night working on statistics, and Garrett, my youngest, fell asleep beside me on the floor because he just wanted to be near me. So it is tough. There are things that you sacrifice, but you make it work.
Well, I think I have one thing going for me, in that the team is so excited about, it's going to take me 4 years to get this PhD because I have to do this baccalaureate certification thing. And then the 3 years for the PhD, they are so excited that we are already reorganizing the schedule, moving me out of meetings, rearranging the company so that I have from Wednesday night all the way until Friday, like around 10 or 11, like that solid amount of time just for the PhD and my schoolwork. So I think that's really helpful. Most people who do it, like, their company is not going to rearrange their responsibilities at work so that they can go back to school. So another benefit of being an entrepreneur, I guess. And they can already see the benefits of me having a PhD for the company going forward, and that nobody else can do this. So it's like, okay, well, nobody else can do the PhD. Nobody else can do the podcast. But somebody else can run some of these meetings and, you know, some other things that we're going to be hiring for. Like, I'm moving out of the CFO position, so we'll be hiring a controller, things like that, like to move me out of some of these things that I haven't let go of up until this time, which I think sometimes when you decide to try something new and improve your skills in one way, you always have to let go of something. And when you have to let go of something, you not only create an opportunity for you to learn more, but you create an opportunity. Like, there's a lot of opportunities right now inside of the team for reorganization and more responsibility and moving up in management and things like that, that they are very excited about as well.
Yeah, It is an opportunity for them. And then too, they'll learn from you. We will all learn from you.
I'll have to have like a separate podcast for the verbal processing of the getting the PhD. Like, this is just the verbal processing of getting a PhD. That could be its own show, probably. Yes,
it could. It'll motivate others to go do it too.
Yeah. You want to get a PhD?
No, I need to go get my master's degree, but
master's.
Yeah. I started a program and then decided it wasn't what I was interested in. And so I took a step back and I don't know. I've been on the fence.
Well, there are so many people that have their PhD in the Organized 365 audience who are emailing me, and I love it. Keep emailing me. Yeah, something's going to come out of that. I don't know what it is, but there's going to be some kind of a think tank or something. I just don't know what it is yet. So I'm excited about that. Okay, but back to your story, Amber, and you can join us while you get your master's. That would be awesome. So what do you most want to share about your organizational journey? Like, in the end, did your organization end up looking like you thought it would look? Like, what was the picture you were trying to attain? And then what is the reality of what your organization was when you were done?
So I think it's very similar to what a lot of other people have struggled with, is that Pinterest look. You know, we all want what people show on Pinterest or in the magazines, but it's really not the reality. You know, we strive for something, and then I think good is good enough. And that's really where I had to get in everything, even with my paper. You know, I was a very micro person, had categories for every kind of bill in the filing cabinet, right? It doesn't work that way. You set up all these great systems and then you don't use it. So really it's about going for that macro, and good is good enough for me. So.
Yeah. And I still, though, I'm the same way, obviously, but I still like, it would be awesome if everything were like labeled and in cute containers, and it's still not. I would love for it to look that way, but I've just never gotten to that point.
No.
It wouldn't stay anyway. I mean, even if I did it, it wouldn't stay. So
that's the problem. You spend all that time setting it up, and then you have to put it all back every time anybody gets in the drawer or whatever it is that they get into and move around.
You know, I probably could maintain it, but I don't like the person I am maintaining it.
Yeah.
Oh, I am such a witch. I'm just like, like, I just lose my ever loving mind. When you mess up the system.
Yeah.
So I learned a long time ago, like, just not have a perfect system. And then I don't yell at my family about it.
I totally relate to a lot of your comments about who you become. Yes.
I will say that I used to be that way also when I would clean the house. Like, if you spend the whole day cleaning the house and then the family wants to walk on the carpet, like, what is the matter with you people? We don't walk on carpet. They're like, well, I have to get out the door, and this is the fine. I'm just like,
yes.
And then paying to have your house cleaned, and then people walk on carpet. Like, and then finally I was like, okay, so the house gets cleaned. I work at an office. By the time I get home, people have walked on the carpet. Now I'm just like, okay, so the house is clean, which means I don't have to clean it. Like, that is the joy I get from the house being clean, because now there's a baby in the house. And let me just tell you, everything's destroyed before I even get home from work after the house has been cleaned in the morning. Sometimes, like, when your goal is the labeling, the vacuumed house, that, like, you've worked so hard to finally get the picture that matches in your head. But the woman I am when the picture matches my head is not the woman that people want to be around. It's really, really hard. I had the same problem when I was a professional organizer. And people would cancel. And let me just tell you, 50% of the time, people cancel on professional organizers. That's a lot of canceling.
That is.
It's a lot of different reasons. They all of a sudden don't have the money. But mostly, it was they were ashamed to have someone else come in their house and do it.
Absolutely.
Or somebody got to them before I actually got there and said, who do you think you are that you get a professional organizer? Or why can't you do this yourself? Or this is ridiculous. I can't believe you need help. And that head trash got to them before I could get there and be like a paid friend. It was just helping them get their house organized. And so 50% of the time they would cancel. Well, this is like my job. my full-time job. And I would go crazy and Carol would go crazy. And finally, we got canceled on again. I think we actually got to the house and they were like, yeah, they didn't let us in. And we were like, it was like 45 minutes away. So now we're driving back in the car together. And we both had kids that had a lot of needs. So a lot of doctor's appointments. And that's why we were doing this job, was because we couldn't do other jobs that were 9 to 5. And so we both decided that the only things that were non-negotiable on our calendars were doctor's appointments for our kids. Other than that, we could schedule at the last minute an organizing session. And until we actually were inside somebody's house organizing, that wasn't a solid commitment. And once we did that, we started overbooking our calendars. So like, even though we wanted to work 2 or 3 days a week, we would book 4 days a week at least, and sometimes 5. And we'd end up working 2 or 3 and we were happy. So then when we'd get the call and be like, oh, this canceled, I'd be like, canceled. They're like, okay. So we go to the grocery store. We get like other than our hair being done or kids' doctor's appointments, everything was negotiable. So we had like 2 lists for every day, a list for if we actually held the organizing job, and then a list for if the organizing job gets canceled, then we swapped out for this whole list. And that's kind of like how I feel when the house gets perfect or somebody walks on a perfectly vacuumed room and I lose my mind. Same thing. Like, you have to build in, like, I'm happy with either option. I'm happy that I don't have to clean my house myself and I come home to a clean house. So I don't care if people are actually walking on the carpet, because the thing I want the most is not to have to do the house myself. Yes. So in the working, it was like, okay, if we can stick 2 or 3 of these jobs a week, then we don't have to go find other jobs. If we work 4, we're exhausted and there's a lot of stuff shoved to the other week, but we know that that might mean we only have 2. And so we let go of when the jobs happened, but we held on that we had to have the job. So I started booking even more jobs, but ironically, we had a better balance.
Yeah, better show, right?
And I think that's what you do when you really dive into organizing in the planning days, like the planning days 3 times a year for your home, not the work ones, the home ones. Really giving yourself at least half a day to think about, how old is everybody in our house? What are the holidays coming up? What is my energy level? What are the external pressures on us? What are the extended family needs on us right now? What are our financial resources right now? What are, like, thinking about all that just for the next 4 months and then making a plan and running with it, versus this is our house and everything in our house is always the same and I am always the best child of God, wife, mother, worker. But no, you can't be all those things all the time. Like, this season, I'm going hot and heavy on the house. This season, I'm putting everything into school and work, and I'm doing minimal at the house. Like, you have to choose, and making some of those choices, then you just move forward without constantly questioning yourself all the time.
Yeah. And I remember having had just started the 100 days, and I think I reached out to you on Instagram to say, you know, really kind of struggling because I want to do this, and you're 15 minutes a day, and you know, but I'm also in school. And I remember you saying, I'm going to be here for a long time. You've got plenty of time to do this. Concentrate on what you need to concentrate on. And so you gave me that grace to be like, you know what? It's not going to be perfect this time around. Yep. I'm going to do what I can. And if I can't, then I can't.
And something is better than nothing. I would rather you go, I can't do it all, and say, okay, I could do 2 15-minute tasks a week, and they're going to be on Saturday and Sunday morning, or they're going to be on Tuesday and Thursday night, and like, put them on the calendar, and that's all you do. And I promise you, you will get organized. It will take longer. But you will get organized, because as you start to see success and you realize you can be trusted with 2 days a week, you're like, I wonder if this time I could do 3, or wonder if I could do 2 plus 2 hours on a Saturday. And you'll start to do more and more because you are learning, and because you fall in love with the results and you realize that you are capable of creating the results. I think the same reason why people didn't let me in their house as a professional organizer is the same reason that people don't actually sign up for the Productive Home Solution, or if they're in it, they don't actually commit, is because you're afraid that you're going to fail. It's impossible. I literally have a podcast called It's Impossible to Fail When You're Organizing. You guys, it's impossible to fail. All you can do is make forward progress. Right, Amber? It's impossible to fail.
And it's the same logic as me with my degree. Starting out small with that one class, and then you just sprint to the end. It's the same. It's the same theory, and it works with everything. It works with your Sunday basket. It works, and all of the things that make you successful as you go along, they're all transferable. They all transfer from Sunday basket to productive home solution to getting a degree,
to paying off debt, to losing weight, to do like whatever you want to do. These are habits. These are skills. These are how you adult. These are like adulting skills. Setting and achieving your goals and believing that you can do it and being around other people with like-minded resolve that will help you do it.
And goals. Yeah. People that are goal-oriented. Absolutely. Yeah. And having accountability partners, people that will jump in and say, hey, did you get this done today? I know you mentioned that you wanted to do XYZ. Did you get that done? And I find that helps too.
Mm-hmm.
Having somebody to be accountable to.
Which is why the certification program works so well. And you are one of our certified organizers. You are in the Dallas area?
I'm in Dallas area. Mm-hmm. Specifically Plano, but yes.
Why did you decide to join the Paper Solution certification?
So I really... Everything in my whole career has been paper. I started as an auditor, and auditors put a lot of binders together. So we take paper and we cross-reference it, and we create these big, huge binders full of paper. And then I left audit and went into medical records. And of course, medical records historically has been paper. You know, a big piece of the work that my team does is a quality review on our scanning operations. So we're currently, we pick up paper on the floors in the hospital, we bring it back, we scan it in. Well, my team does some of the quality review on that paper to make sure that it makes it into the record complete and it's readable and it's on the right patient. And so that quality review function and that paper has been transferable all through my life. So I, as my children age and as I age, I'm thinking about what's next for me, right? We're dabbling with that. Do I get a master's degree or not? Or do I, you know, and so really the skills that I've learned in this journey is something I want to be able to share with other people. And I feel like I have a unique perspective on paper, being that my whole career has been paper. And so that's really why I joined. And I have had so much fun.
And you're able to provide that accountability. And so you would agree with me, like, we're not going paperless anytime soon. We're not. You have less paper, but pretty much. And the medical industry, people think the medical industry is like all digitized. I'm here to tell you it is not.
It's not. And you know, it has changed by leaps and bounds. I mean, the communication between organizations and doctors' offices is a lot better than it used to be. And I see it's going to continue to get better, but you still have different platforms that people can't read their records on. Mm-hmm. And yes, everything is supposed to be transferable from one to the other. And in theory, it is. But I mean, there's a lot more there than just the theory, because not only do you have to have the technology to communicate the information from one organization to the other, but you have to have the user that knows how to find the information. Yeah. And sometimes it's just better for you to have your own copy and be able to take it from one organization to the other. If you come to our organization with an operative report from another facility, we're going to scan it in our record so that we have a copy of it. So, and that's really the best way to make sure that all your documentation is complete.
Yeah. Amber, what do you have more of now?
Well, I have more time because I have these processes in place. I have money, more money, because I'm not paying late fees for not paying my bills on time. Yes. I have more freedom, a sense of freedom, because I don't have the weight of clutter, and then more grace for myself.
More grace for yourself.
And others.
Explain that one. Like, how does that feel to you?
It's a happy feeling, you know? So being able to say good is good enough rather than this, you know, I'm not that Pinterest mom that does those cute birthday parties, but my kids still had fun at their birthday party. It's happy, and being able to stop and enjoy and recognize my kids still had fun at the birthday party, even though it didn't have a theme with all these little details that are out there in social media and on Pinterest.
They're not on that Pinterest board. They're on TikTok doing something different.
Yes.
They're like, what's Pinterest? They're not looking at what you're looking at. And often, like, they don't care.
They don't. They just want the time with us.
Yes.
And the hugs and the, the attention. They just want us to stop and listen to what they have to say.
Yes. Yes.
And that doesn't, that doesn't require a clean house. It doesn't require for your paper to be organized. It's just the attention of pausing everything else around you and saying, tell me what it is you want to tell me.
So is that how you're using your extra time, spending more time with your kids? Like,
yeah. And the volunteering, you know, some of it, is my business and the time that I'm spending with my clients coaching and working through their accountability. But two, it's the volunteering. We volunteer together on average 30 to 40 hours at a school year. So
that's great.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's a significant investment in your community, which is awesome.
Yep, we are having fun with that.
What do you wish you knew sooner?
You know, I think that the same theory of if you start putting a process in place, you can move through it. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the biggest one. Good is good enough. And then also to focus on macro and not micro.
Yeah. Macro and not micro. Is that the advice you would give to someone who's just starting out?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So don't get bogged down. And I find too, with the ADHD, people get so bogged down in the details, they can't get past it. And so it's really important to just think of a broad category. Think if it's financial, put it over here. If it's medical, put it over here. And really don't get bogged down in those details.
Yeah. Keep going. Just do the next thing. Do one more thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Amber, thank you so much for joining us on the Wednesday podcast.
Thank you.